Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy this message from the Well.
Sam gets a bit excited, guys, but I'm not sure at the upper room that we have more Holy Spirit than actually we see in Acts 2. But it is an amazing time together. I mean, last time we saw people fall on the floor. Some people like doing that. The Holy Spirit does that sometimes as well. That's what I noticed. But actually, we had the Spirit empowered came there. We had people healed from arthritis. Anyone got arthritis in this place? Yeah. Oh, man, you should come up and get prayer. I hate arthritis. Anyway, well, I'll tell you one of them. She was an older lady in her 80s, turned up with a walking stick. And I heard God say about arthritis. And so we need to pray for it. Anyway, so pray for someone else. They got healed, neck, thumbs, hands. And then this lady come up and she said, well, I'm riddled with it. And anyway, she'd walked in like this. And she had to hold on to things. After we finished praying, she put a stick down. She's walking about like a teenager. Praise the Lord. Can we give the Lord a round of applause for that? Come on, guys. The other thing is, I know you're disappointed it's me this week, guys, and it's not Duncan. But what happened is, I don't know if you remember Dawla. She came here to preach once, and she came from Trinity. And she had cancer, and she's been battling with cancer for about 4 years. I don't know a more spirit-filled woman, full of faith for what God's going to do in her life. And, you know, this is one where the word of faith, guys, you know, they've got no answer. Once you're on that plane and that's all you can see, all that we could say to her is she obviously didn't have enough faith. Actually, loads of people full of faith pray for her. She has got loads of faith herself, or had it, and she testified that, you know, God was so with her in it, but it wasn't God's will this time. And he took her yesterday. It was quite a surprise. I got a phone call by Andy Cawley. And so there's no way that she was such a part of the leadership team there. Duncan's going to have to lead the whole church through quite a difficult period now. And so let's just pray for them. We love them dearly up there. And, you know, she's left Tim, her husband, and two youth. And so, Lord, we thank you for Dawla's witness, God, all the way to the end, full of faith, full of, I know God is either going to heal me or he will be with me until the day I go. And you were with her, Lord. And even she even preached 2 months ago, Lord. He was still on form then. But God, we pray, we thank you that you've already welcomed her into heaven. But we do pray for the family, Trinity family first, that Duncan and Andy would lead the church through that time, Lord, well. And also for Tim and the boys, Lord, that you would comfort them at this time. And let their faith grow through this, God. Let them come closer to you and not run away, Lord. So, Lord, we praise you and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name. And, Lord, I just pray for those that have lost people. I know Deb's is in agonies now because of her dad and his Father's Day. And then we were told about Dawla yesterday. She's got cancer, and suddenly she went, and Debbie's already been told that her mum has got cancer and it could happen at any time. And, you know, so, Lord, we thank you that you've got a place for us to go to. Death isn't the end, Lord, but we have this glorious place that we move on to. And Lord, I pray any heart that is still going through that today, that you'll comfort them, that you'll be with them. And everyone in the house said, amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Okay, we're going to start this series. It was supposed to be started off by Duncan with another subject, but today... it's called modern sexuality. What a society made sex. You know, there's what God made it, and then there's what society made it. And so today we're going to be talking about sex and freedom from pornography. And 1 Peter 1:16 says this: "Be holy, because I am holy." And that's a quote that Peter did from the Old Testament, the book of Leviticus. So it's not a new thing from God that is calling us to be holy. It's always been there. Be holy because he is holy. Now, notice it doesn't say, be holy as I am holy. You know why? Because if it said that, we would have to be as holy as God. And we all know that God is holy, but actually, we're not. We mess up. We are not perfect, not this side of heaven. But if we repent, the Bible says, the blood of Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Can I hear an amen to that? Come on, we all need that, don't we? Regularly, that's the gospel. We mess up, we come to God, he cleanses us by his spirit, and then we're freed up. So what we're going to do, looking at freedom from porn, we're going to do a little game, okay? And it's called, be holy as I am holy, and thou shalt not lie, okay? So this game, what we're going to do is ask people to raise your hand high as you can. When was the last time you looked at pornography? Yeah. Was it 10 years ago? Don't do it yet. Was it 5 years ago? Was it 1 year ago? 1 month ago? Or was it last week? Or even last night? And if anyone's looking at pornography now while I'm talking, you've got no chance, all right? You're done for. And so the problem is, as we look at this subject, you realize in a minute why, but the problem is that we live in a pornographic society. It's everywhere, and it really is getting worse every year, as far as I can see it. And it just is, and so we're soaked in that. And what happens is we get desensitized to it. You remember the first time you ever swore, it was like, wow, I know I'm doing something wrong. But then after 10, 20, 100 swear words, it just means nothing. Well, that is what society has done to us. Where we're born into it. The youth, it's not their problem. All the things that they go through, it's not their fault. You know, it's us and our forefathers that pass laws that make it okay. You know, so, and we're in that today. We see it with the way people dress nowadays. Now, as Christians, we're not called to be prudes. But there's a line somewhere. Yeah, I believe that we should dress. You know, a woman should look like a woman. That's why God made them that way. And if some clothes make her look beautiful, that's wonderful. Same with a bloke. You know, a bloke is meant to look right. And some dress is good, but there is a line somewhere. And what is acceptable and what isn't acceptable on TV nowadays? You know, you can't watch anything, can you, without it just popping up? It just does. And the worst thing is watching movies today. You know, you sit down to watch a normal movie, and then suddenly a video comes up, a scene comes up for no reason, with banging sex going on, and you sit there and you think, oh man, should I be watching this? But before you get to turn it off, it's too late. You've already seen it. And it is attractive, isn't it? You know, to watch that, there's something about it, we're going to see in a minute. It is. But the question is where is the red line, really? Where is it for us? Where is the red line? And the thing is, now we are seeped into a pornographic society, we kind of find it easy to live at a 3 or 4. If you think of porn being the worst case 10 and 0 being holy, actually we live in about 3 or 4, ordinary people. And the problem is, when we live at that level, it's so easy to step into an 8 or a 9. It makes it so easy. That's why I'm against puff. People say puff isn't bad. I say it's the worst one ever. You take puff after a few years, it's a stepping stone into coke, crack, and the rest of it. But that is what society has done to us. And it's so easy to get into it. Even Rick Warren's wife, Kay, she'd never do pornography, never do it. But she watched it once. And she said, that was it. She was done. And you want to look it up online on how she managed to give that up. So don't feel dug out, because you'll find out how many people are on it. We're now going to have a little watch of a video of Grace, who fell into it and how she came out of it. If our technical team are on board, it should come up now. Hey, look at that. It's good if you can hear what she says. Can we start it from the beginning?
Do not to swing your
legs. Okay. I can do this. Okay.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Yeah,
can we start it from the beginning?
Hi, my name is Grace. I'm in grade 12, and I'm going to be talking about my story with porn. I got into it when I was really, really young. I was about 10 years old. I found it on the internet one day, and it felt good, so I kept on doing it. I didn't really know it was wrong. I didn't really understand what I was consuming, but it felt good. What can I say? It felt good, and it was a comfort thing, too. It's something that I can rely on. I know what's going to give me, and it was just a cycle that made sense in the moment for me, and I got kind of caught up in that until it just ran my life. It was one of those things that I didn't really have control over. It kind of derailed a lot of friendships where our friendship would be based on watching porn, and it would be to the point where it's like I couldn't go without, like a day without it. And it kind of just changed how I viewed myself and how I viewed others and how I viewed relationships. One of the biggest turning points for me, I feel like, was when I got caught by my parents. My parents found one day and they kind of just shut me down. They didn't really explain why, but they did very much be like, this is wrong and this is because of God. And I didn't understand that. Like, I didn't understand why, so I would keep on doing it, but I would hide it this time because I knew it was shameful. Like, that now it's a shameful part of me that I can't share. This is something that is embarrassing. This is something that not everybody at church goes. No one else at church would go through, because if they did, I feel like they should be talking about it, because this is a big deal. It's not. So after that, it was a lot of cycles, but this time it was heavy on shame, and it was heavy on guilt, and it was heavy on my mental health, and it was just something that I would try to hide. So I grew up, I got a little older, and we did this identity project, which is the second turning point. We did the identity project and we were talking about porn. And from that, I got like a clear definition of why porn is wrong for me and why I should not do it. I got a clear definition of porn, first of all, because at that point, I didn't really understand from a biblical perspective why it was wrong. And one of my leaders, I don't think he knows this, but he shared his story with porn, and that kind of really hit me, because I realized we were learning about porn, but I didn't realize that people in church struggled with porn too. And so from that, it was definitely amazing that my leader could be so vulnerable with me and us as a group, and it definitely really helped me see that this is a problem not just for me, it's a problem with a lot of people too. One of the steps that led to my freedom from porn was letting go of it, letting go of, like, choosing to let go of the hold it had for me. And that sounds, oh my goodness, yeah, just let it go, which sounds super superficial, but it was the conscious thing of saying, I know I'm tempted right now, but I'm gonna choose not to. I know that my foot is in, I know I'm not in the right, I know what I'm doing right now can be classified as sin, but I'm gonna stop right now. I'm gonna choose to let the Holy Spirit inside, and I'm going to choose to listen and come to God with my problems. My journey was never one and done, as in I found it was sin, and then God just completely took it away. No, it's definitely been a up and down journey. It's been a valley, it's been hills. There have been times where I've literally been like, I don't think I can do this. Let me just give up now, because obviously this fighting isn't worth it. But God has been so gracious, and God's been so amazing and so fundamental in this. Like, God's so fundamental in when you're looking for healing. Like, searching for God's so important. Another really important thing was community. Again, I talked about my leader, and him showing his vulnerability also led me to understand that vulnerability is so important. Earlier this school year, I and a few other girls were in a meeting and were like, what's your testimony? And while I was talking about testimony, it just kind of came out. I didn't really mean for it to come out, but it came out, and I realized how much of a relief it is. It's like, oh my goodness, this is not a secret. And they looked at me with, like, they don't look at me any different. They still look at me like I'm Grace, and they still look at me like we are family. And that really changed how I saw community, because I was realizing being vulnerable in community isn't a weakness. Being vulnerable at all isn't a weakness. It's such a strength that God has given us, and God has blessed all of us in these community groups, and I'm so grateful for them. One of the things that stopped me from sharing it or being vulnerable with it is because I thought God looked at me with the same eyes that I looked at myself, and I looked at myself with guilt, and I looked at myself in shame, and I looked at myself based on the actions that I did. And so I try to like atone for them. I'll be like, okay, now I'm gonna do this many rites, so this one doesn't count anymore. And I think it's so important to realize how God looks at you and how God looks at me, where God looks at us with the pride of a father. He looks at us with the righteousness, his righteousness. And I think it's so important of why Jesus died is because he forgave you, and he really took all those sins. He knew what you were going to do, and he said, I forgive you. And he says, I'm still going to die. I know it, but I'm still going to die. And that was a very big change in my perspective, and that really helped me mentally with overcoming and healing. Here's a couple things that I want to leave you with. Life sucks sometimes, and I know once life starts to suck, it can kind of lead you back into your sins that you thought you were done with. And these are like specifically people that feel like they were healed but then have backslid. God still loves you so, so much, and he still wants to talk to you. He still wants to be there with you in your struggle. He still wants to be in the midst of it. It doesn't matter what you've done. He already looks at you with love, and he wants to continue to be in the struggle. He wants to continue being your best friend and being in those battles. So just invite him daily. Like, it's so easy to say, oh, invite him daily. Take those small steps again. Take those, this situation really sucks, but I'm going to pray. Or I know I'm going to get tempted right now, so I'm going to leave. I'm not going to watch videos, or I'm not going to watch movies with sex scenes. I'm not going to read books with, I know there's sex in it. I'm not going to do things that give the devil too much hold. And I think once you've realized what makes you click, I think it's a responsibility to just be self-aware, be humble with yourself, and realize, oh, I can't do this. Someone else with the same problem maybe can, but I know I can't. So just come to God with a open and humble, soften your hearts. Yeah, come to God with a humble heart, and God will literally take care of all the rest. It might not be easy, but he will take care of it.
Truthful there from Grace. And so how bad is it out there then? How bad is pornography and how it affects us? Well, latest statistics say that 68% of church-going men regularly look at porn, so that's a majority. There are one study shows that 30% of women really watch pornography regularly, and that is rising. It used to be loads of men, not many women. Now that gap is getting closer. 94% of children are exposed to pornography by the age of 14. And then 20% of them are sexting each other, sending sex pictures of each other. And you see, the world doesn't see a problem with it. The world says, no, that's okay. It's not hurting anyone, is it? If nobody knows, it won't hurt them. And it's better than fornication, it's better than adultery anyway. But the reality is, the more we look at porn, the less we want sex with our spouse. Because our sex drive only allows us to do it, if you like, a certain amount of times. And the thing is, there's a chemical release when you're watching pornography. Just like the chemicals when you get drug addicted. When you're watching pornography, there's a release that you can get hooked on. Again, I'll go back to Kay Warren. Who would ever think she would? You know, woman of God. Hit it once, boom, she's in. And so we've got to be really careful, because once we do it, we can end up in that spiral, that downward spiral, and it's not a nice place to be. And then it breeds insecurities. It will breed insecurities with both you and the spouse. First, with the person that's doing it. as you start to compare what you do to what you saw on the screen. You're never going to compare. These women, these men, they're doing it all the time. They're professionals at it. But you compare yourself. And then as your spouse realizes that you're watching porn and they try to keep up with what they think that you're watching, and they realize that they can't do that, all of a sudden they feel degraded and they'll go further in sex than actually they ever wanted to go. And yes, in marriage, we have freedom in sex. Totally believe that whatever is good between the pair is good to go. Yeah, God's given you a body, you're together. But where one is uncomfortable, you don't go there. But once porn gets involved, then they will go further and they will feel degraded and dirty and all the rest of it. And so we don't go there. And lastly, it ruins your spiritual life. You know, your closeness with God, that intimacy that you've got. Because after you've done it, yeah, and I have before, but it's like you feel dirty inside. You feel horrible, guilty, shame kind of covers you and you carry it about with you. And it's like, does anyone know that kind of thing? And you kind of feel helpless about it. Because you know that God is looking down. And you wouldn't want anyone to know. The thought in your mind is like, if people knew now, if people knew, what would they say? And it's really not a good place to be. So how do we escape? How do we escape the clutches of porn in our life? Well, the first thing that we do is admit that you've got a problem. You are powerless to overcome it yourself. You're in your own strength, you can't do that. Yeah, you might try for a while and you might succeed for a while, a bit like Grace said up there. But again, when the wrong circumstances happen, the fall comes again. And so the idea is that we're honest with God, that we say, God, this is a problem for me and I don't want it because I am on that downward spiral. And then second, let God help you. 2 Peter 1:3-4 says that Jesus' divine power has given us everything we need for living a godly life. You have divine power already. It's there at your disposal. God wants to help you to overcome that, to get through it. God, that's what he's there for, to break that habit. And that's what he wants to do today, to break that habit. Now, I know as growing up, I know young men particularly, and young ladies no doubt, would love to get a partner that is so sexed up, all you can think of is having sex all the time. Yeah, that would be a perfect partner, yeah? Well, let me tell you a little story. It's that I went out with a, and all this, Debbie knows what I'm going to say, so don't worry. And that. So I went out with an estate agent, lovely looking girl and all that, well before I was a Christian and that, or met Debbie. And it was great. But after a week, I was exhausted. Man, she didn't stop doing it. I mean, I wake up in the morning, she's still doing it all night. Wake up and she's, and it's like, you never have enough. And what happened after I got, I said to her, I said, what happens when I go to work? She said, oh, I'll watch a bit of porn. I went, really? And she said, my record for having orgasms is 53 orgasms in one go. I said, you're joking. Yeah. Now, some guys out there thinking, God, bring her, I'd love that. You would not love that, honestly. I said to her, I can't remember her name, that was years, about 40 years ago. And I said to her, I said, how do you feel at the end? Because you'd think 53 orgasms, you're going to be up there in the sky somewhere, you know what I mean? And she went, to be honest, I feel totally exhausted and I don't want to do it. But once I finish one, I have to go on to the other. And so it really isn't a good place to be. You scratch the surface, be careful, you can get sucked in. Thirdly, open up to somebody you trust. Yeah, like Grace, she opened up to a church leader who was sympathetic on that, and he just opened it up. It wasn't hidden anymore, like Satan just pounding her, that how bad she was, how naughty she was, how rubbish she was. It was out in the open, and she found out other people struggle as well. We need to find somebody that we can share so that feeling of rejection goes from our heart, because I know that our people here we love the presence of the Holy Spirit. And these things are like rocks in our heart that get in the way. And that's why we're going through this series, to remove some of that so we receive more Spirit. But we need to find somebody. And I remember I was only an early Christian about 3 or 4 years in. I used to get people come to me and ask me to pray for deliverance and stuff. I don't know why, but it's just something. Anyway, so this guy turns up. He's one of the leaders of a church local. He said, "Why will you pray for me?" He said, "I've got this spirit of lust." He said, "I want porn." He said, "And because my wife doesn't tend to want a lot of sex and I've fallen into that." He said, "But I've got a problem." I said, "What is it?" He said, "Well, when I'm at work, there's this lady that keeps following me into the photocopy room, and she keeps exposing herself and saying I can do what I want." And he said, "God, I am actually happily married other than that. I don't want to do it. But if she does it again, I know that I'm going to fall. I know I'm going to fail." I went, "Okay, well, you've done the right thing. You've come to me. You've shared it with somebody else. He repented of his part in it and that." And we just did a simple prayer. You know, by the blood of Jesus, we cleanse in the name of Jesus. And we came against the spirit of lust in the name of Jesus. And we said, "Go." And it went. No big deal. No scream. It's not, you know, like The Exorcist. Just came out. And that. And you know what? I saw him by the end of the week. And he said to me, "Clive," he said, "I can't believe it." He said, "The next day, man of God, sitting on the train, reading his Bible like that. All of a sudden, he looked over and there was a page free, you know, with all that. I don't even know whether they still do it or not, but it was there." And he said, "I looked over and I looked back and I carried on reading my Bible. And then he looked up and he thought, man, I've never done that before." He said, "Normally, if I see anything like that, I'm locked on." He was freed up from lust. And that is what God wants to do with us today. Do we believe that, guys? He's on us for freedom today. And then lastly, it would be that we need to read God's word, his promises to us, that we would get God's perspective on our lives. I love what Grace said there, that God sees us with loving eyes. He sees us as righteous. He sees us as pure. He loves us so much. And even though he knows everything about us, he wants to walk with us as we go through whatever we're going through in life. Whether it's getting rid of a pornography addiction, it could be alcohol addiction, it could be work addiction, it could be anything that we give our life. God wants to walk. He is our Father. He wants us to walk through that. And so soften our hearts. That's what we do. And we say, "Yes, God, do it for me. Free me up." Three of those Bible verses I recommend is 1 Corinthians 10:13. "No temptation has overcome you, that which is common to man." So it doesn't say you're not going to get tempted. No, it's out there to tempt you. And God wants to know that you're going to love him more than the temptation. You look for the way out and he will show you. And then Ephesians 3:16 says, "According to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened in your inner being." Yeah, it glorifies God when he strengthens us to overcome. That's what makes us bold men and women of God. And then Galatians 5:1 says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set you free." So if you are in Christ, you are free from it. You are free from addiction. Because when Christ died on the cross, he pinned all sin to the cross. And the power of sin was broken on the cross over us. So you are free from the addiction. The problem is that you can continue as if you're still a slave to pornography and that addiction. So let's learn. It's a danger out there. Okay? It's a danger. And learn what triggers you. Being alone late at night, looking at your computer when you shouldn't. All these things. Don't do it. Stay away from it. And I say this to parents. If your child comes to you, or if you catch your child at it, like my mate Donald got caught in the kitchen, wedged under the kitchen cupboard, and his mum and dad walked in. He couldn't get out. He was trying to do something he shouldn't do on his own, and they walked in. Can you imagine that? Parents, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, Donald, his name is. And Yeah. If that happens that you catch your child, actually, hopefully not like that, then don't pile in guilt and shame on them like they did, because they'll run from you. This is the time they need you more than ever to walk with them through this. It's a real danger for them. And then lastly, Grace said how important it was that church leaders become vulnerable about it and share their story. And so I can share mine. And, you know, I've not struggled with pornography, really. I can remember we used when I was about 13, working, selling strawberries and that. And we used to call them nudie mag at the time. And some of the boys had come in and they'd be in there, so, you know, always, look at this. And it was like, yeah, okay. But it never really, it wasn't my thing, you know. And then before I come to Christ, I used to get papers, and sometimes it was the Sun and that. And then I'd open it up. But once I became a Christian, I saw the page 3, and there was a day I looked at it and I thought, I'm never getting the Sun newspaper again. God had done something in my heart. I thought, this is degrading to women. I don't like what it's done. I don't know how they do that and expose themselves like that, but I don't want to be part of it anymore. And that must have been, I don't know how many years ago, 30-odd years ago now. And I just won't. I just think it's rotten and horrible. But here's my problem, and that is that when I'm watching films, and it's happened a few times, where in the middle of a film, why they stick it there, I don't know. It's got nothing to do with the film, but all of a sudden, boom, there's this like happening, and it's going on. And at that moment, you've got that time, and you can laugh. It's probably because this happened to you before, right? But you're sitting there and you're thinking, I need to turn this. Am I supposed to watch this? How far are they going to go? And before you can get up to turn it over, it's too late. The deal's done. You've already seen it. And it's, oh my word. And I've got a picture that's in my mind. Okay, this one scene. All the rest I've managed to forget, but this one scene from about 25 years ago. And it haunts me, because whenever I'm feeling a bit, you know, I need it now. You know, hot days, it gets us like that, doesn't it? It rises up for those that are married, obviously. And it's like, so when it's like that, at the wrong time, it can come and it can engulf my mind. And it's like all I can think of, and I can't get rid of it. Or there are times, especially as it comes to summer, it's, you know, it's 10 times worse in the city. At Basildon, you just don't see that amount of people. In the city, you see skin everywhere. Yeah, and I'm not opposed to good-looking men and women dressing up well, but when the red line is gone past and everything is virtually there so you can see it, you know, and you take the second look. There's nothing wrong with the first look, because God knew what he made. When he made a woman, the shape is right. When he made a man, the shape is right. Nothing wrong with the first look. It's the second look. And then when you start making a video of it, is that where you are today? And there are times, you know, when Debs, there was a time, you know, when Debs wouldn't want sex. She didn't, and I thought, oh, well, I'll just play that little video and I'll just ease the pain, you know, get rid of the pressure. And I thought there was nothing wrong with that, until I realized that if I do that, then when Debbie wants sex, I'm done. I'm empty. I've already done my tank, and there's nothing left for Debbie. So it's wrong. So at that point, I chose not to do it. I thought, no, I'm not doing that anymore. Just being real with you guys, how it worked. But there were times when I would slip up after that. But then here we go. But I was at a leaders meeting, and it was leaders. There was about, I don't know, 300-500 leaders, church leaders. And this guy had got up, and he'd got a ministry. He had 10,000 people in his congregation, and he got caught using porn, actually, while the service was going on. And man of God, he'd been struggling on his side. His dad, at the age of 13, took him to a prostitute and got him laid, because that was their culture. That's what they did. And it started off a life of sex abuse for him that he couldn't get rid of. And so he stood in front of 10,000 and said to them, it might be quite that much. They might have had a few services. Anyway, that was the size of his church. So we see at least a couple of thousand a time. And he said to them, look, I repent of this. I don't want to do this. It was bought my way with my dad, and I just want to be freed from it. So that was when he did it, sorry, in Singapore, in his place, I was there. But then when he did it in this place, there was 400 to 500 people there. And I said, I was totally freed. After sharing it and people freeing me, I was totally, after years of battling with pornography and sex abuse, I was completely freed. He said, so I'm going to ask you to come down. I'm going to ask you, if you are struggling in that way, I want you to come down because God is going to release you from that today. And that's what he wants to do today. He wants to do it for us here today. When he did that, the whole front, I couldn't believe it. These were leaders. The whole of the front was smothered in bodies. The whole of the aisles was smothered. By then I realized, well, although I haven't got a problem with porn, I thought, actually, them videos are taking me where I don't want to go. So I kind of stepped forward because there was no room there, and I got absolutely freed up myself. But we have to do our bit. And God wants to free us today. Free us from that dirty feeling. Free that feeling that it's hidden and Satan's beating you up. You're full of shame and guilt and powerlessness. There's nothing that you can do. The Holy Spirit wants to break them chains today. But it's going to be for brave people. I'm going to ask people to come up the front there, and I'm going to be the first one. Because again, you know, as the sun has come out, I'm noticing this. You know, the one little skill, guys, those that are married, tell your wife. I tell Debbie, you know, I tell Debbie. And what I say is, like, Deb, I've been starting to look at things I shouldn't. We need to do it, all right? And so no song and dance, all that stuff. We get in the bedroom, we do it. Pressure's gone, all right? It's just a little skill, you know, because she doesn't want me out there like that. And if she gets like that, I don't want her struggling like that. We're married, that's what we do. Okay, but what particularly I want to pray for is those that are, you know, you're not got a problem with porn so much. You're just caught up in the culture that we've got, the pornographic culture, and you're somewhere between, you know, 1 and 4, where you're in it and you've accepted stuff that actually you know it isn't right. It's not there. They're the ones I want to pray for. Obviously, if you're further down the line, please come up. Yeah, but particularly for the ones who are just in that place where you've watched the film, like me, and there's something there. Your desire is to be holy. You want to be pure. You want to be righteous. But there's this thing that's there that God wants to clean us out today. Maybe you've been walking down the street like me recently, and you just, you know, you don't mean to. You think, no, I don't want to look, so you carry on. But something catches your eye. All right, there you go. We need to do it before the kids come back. But I'm there now anyway. And this really isn't an easy subject to cover. But what I want us to do is to come and to get our release. I did this with someone the other day, and they got completely freed. And it wasn't that. It was another thing. But God is going to release people today. And so are you the person that wants to be holy today? Yeah? You are not on a scale of 1 to 10. You're not up there. Or you might be, but you're more like me. It's like, it's just uncomfortable, the society we live in, what they accept. We've gone with the flow. You've watched the films. You've seen the newspaper. You've done all that stuff. And you say, no, I don't want to do that anymore. I want to be holy. If that is you today, I'm going to ask, yeah, to come down, and I'm going to be the first one up, yeah? I'm going to be the first one, and then we're going to pray for people to be released from that. It's going to take some brave people. So if we can come down to here, yeah, face the front. Come on, you're going to have to do it. Just face the front, like me. I'll continue talking. Guys, we know that if we watch something, if we notice something, 68% They're in the high rankings. In the high rankings. Come on, this is time to get free, guys. Ladies, be brave. We're not talking about those that are on a nine. They're you know, right in there. If they want to come forward, that's fine. I'm talking about those that are stained by the world we live in. That we know that there's things that we watch. Or we're frightened that we're going to step into it. You know, we've seen the bodies. We've caught ourselves looking again and again and we can't get out of it. Or we've got something like I had, that picture that we keep playing in our mind. There's more, guys. Don't waste this time. If that's you, God is really going to free us up today. He's going to free us up, release us. Oh, God. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord. Well done, the ones that have responded. If you haven't, you know, it's not an easy thing to do. Just everybody, if you can pray for me, either pray it for yourself or pray it for someone else. I don't know what I'm going to say, but follow me now. Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you that you are the Son of God. Come on, nice and loud, guys. I thank you that your blood sets me free from every addiction, from porn, from alcoholism, from workaholism, from anything else that is not part of your will and purpose. I renounce pornography as sin. I step away from it by the blood of Christ. I separate myself from it. And by your Holy Spirit, God, would you release me now? Set me free, God, from this awful cycle of watching it, relieving myself, and then feeling dirty and bad. I'm just going to pray for everybody now. Lord, I thank you for the honesty that we've seen. Lord, we do live in a culture that is seeped in pornography. Lord, we live in a culture that accepts so much more than you would accept. That line is at naught, Lord, and that's where we want it. God, that we honor ladies for being who they are, beautified by the right wear. We honor blokes, Lord, for who you've called them to be. Lord, but we don't want to veer anymore into sexualizing bodies, sexualizing people that we shouldn't. Lord, so God, we pray now, I command every spirit of lust to get off of our people in Jesus' name. You get off our people. You leave our people. You go now. Men, women, be freed in Jesus' name. Lust, go. In spirit of pornography, go in Jesus' name. Sexual deviancy, go in Jesus' name. Be gone now in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, and I pray. Let your love flow. Let your love come. Bless our people, Lord. Free them up. Free them up. Thank you, Jesus. And everybody in the house said, amen. Let's give the Lord a round of applause, guys. Oh, Lord. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord. Let me know stories of freedom, guys. So I think we'll call the service a day there. We've run over slightly. Teas and coffees over here, guys. And well done for those that responded. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Can we get a bit of music? Thank you. If anyone wants that prayer for arthritis,